Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I am Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
Yes. And Alistair, I believe you're recording under ideal podcast conditions.
Well,
which means that there are no children in your house.
There's no children. I could get a call from daycare, but
that would be the perfect twist.
Yeah. We need you to come right now. They're vomiting from every orifice.
And it is vomit. Very good.
Butt vomit.
Alistair,
yeah,
I have a sketch idea.
Yeah.
Right. Based on something we were talking about before the podcast started.
All right. Okay.
And we were talking about how, because I've got a book coming out. I've got a book coming out with Peter Thomas. We made a book and we got the advanced copy of it yesterday.
And it's a children's book.
I'm sure I'll be plugging it a lot on this show. I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's going to mostly be that from here on out. We were joking that, you know, it's got that new book smell and that new book gunk all over it, you know, like a baby. But wouldn't it be great if all factories were basically a version of the human birth canal?
Mm-hmm.
So every product that they produce comes out sort of in a big sort of squirming rush, or maybe sometimes slowly, and
a
covered in gunk.
A squirming rush, like birth.
That's kind of what it's like, right?
I don't know if any of the babies I've seen be born were in a rush.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you like to make them big, though, don't you?
I make them big, baby. I think if you think that in the Industrial Revolution when we decided to make factories.
Revolutionized industry. Yeah.
Yeah. We decided to go the biomimicry route. And we started, we were like, well, okay, first you're going to need a tummy.
Yeah.
We'll make
exactly.
a big tummy. And we'll put the, I suppose that the ingredients to make the thing will need to go in through some door.
Pipe or door,
pipe.
Yeah.
And then everything will come out that same pipe as well.
Yeah, exactly, right? And instead of a conveyor belt, you have a sort of a fleshy tube that it sort of gets squeezed, things get sort of squeezed along.
Well,
and they do come out sort of covered in goop.
Well, because also
a little bit of...
It seems crazy to both have a factory and workers, right? Because...
Yes.
Because you may as well just have
a factory
that is also the worker.
There you go. And I think also if you buy a product, so when you want to buy something from the factory, you should have to shove the money up the hole, right? That it comes out of. Okay, so you put the money up there on the end of a stick, and then a period of time later, the product comes out of the hole and you catch it in your hands if you're the purchaser of the product.
You get to catch
and
it
then every,
as it comes out?
And then everybody congratulates you.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, a new iPhone or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's still connected to like the 3D printer that's in there, the sort of fleshy 3D printer thing.
You break off that little bit of 3D printer injection whatever, tubule.
It's an injection mold 3D printer.
Yeah. All right. You absolute fuck.
But I mean,
how dare you? How dare you?
I mean, they could injection mold the outer case and then 3D print the electronics.
I would argue that the human reproductive system is basically an injection mold 3D printer. So,
yeah, you could be.
I wouldn't argue that, and I refuse to argue that. And please don't put me in a situation where that's required.
In a way, 3D printing is more of an ejaculation mode, because it's kind of just dropping it slowly on the outside. It doesn't go on the inside.
Yeah.
Ejection mode is mold. I mean, the mold bit is that you're, I guess, the product itself is a mold for if you want to make it.
Did you say, but first you said ejaculation mold, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a very interesting method of building babies. And I think society would be very different. We wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have today if a man wanted to have a baby, he had to 3D print it out of ejaculate. Okay? I'm just saying.
I mean, that's almost
that would be.
But,
No, well, but I think if you had to produce enough ejaculate.
Yeah, sure.
Sort of in the right configuration to make a baby.
It's a man-only society. They go, oh, yeah?
Yes.
Women think that they won't need us? Well, we won't need them. And then they produce this machine like one of those CNC machines or whatever it's like a 3D printer that just holds a man, lays him down,
really good.
And then has
really good. The penis and then whacks him off,
attempting to get constant ejaculate coming out, and then slowly deposits some, and then tries to make a male baby out of it.
Yeah, I think this is really funny, and I think this is the sort of. The MRAs are trying to build a men-only society and prove that they don't need women, and this is the machine that is going to do it. I mean, that's a real sexual revolution, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, in the mold of the Industrial Revolution. And by mold, I mean there is no mold because it's ejaculation printing.
Sure, but you meant the.
It's not injection.
You meant the spores that will eventually get onto the ejaculate and sort of develop on there and probably help hold the 3D printed man together.
Look, that could be crucial. I mean, there's going to be issues, but it's the best we can do. I think it's quite exciting.
But now, while we were saying ejection and injection. This is a twist on the military aircraft ejector seat.
But yeah.
it's an injector seat. So it's a seat.
Okay.
It's like a guided seat that you go and pick up one of the enemies, and when one of your it's kind of like an Uber thing, like when one of your planes is crashing and one of your guys is ejecting, it tries to bring one of the enemy into the plane.
Into your plane.
Into your crashing plane.
Into your crashing plane.
So that you don't waste a plane like that.
Yeah. Well, you don't waste a good crisis, and you don't waste a good plane crash.
Exactly.
You know, this thing's going down.
And then it also means that, especially if you're crashing like over enemy territory, maybe onto a building or something like that, then suddenly with their own guy in there in the plane, it becomes an own goal. How embarrassing.
You know what would be
the seat
that is really embarrassing.
There's also you can also get a photo of it. There's another
emotional hit as well as being a
that's right
you know loss of a thing. Now this would be a great reality TV show, right? You know Life Swap, you know Wife Swap,
of course.
What about this?
My favorite program.
Yeah, what about this? Army swap, okay?
I like that.
So two countries are at war.
Yeah.
And then, just for like a week, all the generals have to swap armies, okay? Because they're still fighting each other,
yeah.
Right? The armies are still fighting each other. It doesn't really affect the, like, you know, it's not like the one who are on one side are now going to feel bad about fighting the ones who are on the other side because they're still the opposite side. But what it is you get a real insight into what it's like for the generals of one side to have to work with the army of the other.
That's right.
Now, it's going to be a hard sell, but war's an expensive business. And I think if we've got the production budget, I reckon we could get Netflix in on this.
Yeah.
Right, they've got money to splash around.
And there's enough there'll be enough characters there that there's a chance that it'll produce an off, you know, like a spin-off.
Sure.
You know, the amount of spin-offs it could create become could bring in enough money maybe to cover the whole military budget.
The eventually. Whole war. Mm. It's a cost neutral war.
And that's why
that's the dream.
Citizens have to do their duty and stay at home and watch the shows.
Yes. Well, I think that helps as well, because the one flaw in my they just swap is civilian casualties, right? You would hate to injure your own civilians.
But then you'd probably hate to injure their civilians.
Yeah, but not as much.
No, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you probably do injure your civilians. You know, if the war's on your own territory, there's always that risk. But
isn't it weird? Like, because you know, like, imagine if you went to war with like Germany. You go, I know people who live in Germany. You can't. Yeah, I mean, not that that's what I'm saying. They're going, but that's not where we're headed.
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, I mean, today we're on a day where it seems like Russia. You know, the countries are Western countries are pulling all their people out of Ukraine or Ukraine.
Now that's a pronunciation. Alistair found out the Ukrainian pronunciation of Ukraine yesterday, and
something like that.
He
was like Ukraine.
Very excited,
and Wise was like, "What a beautiful name!"
Yeah, we really fucked that up.
Well, it's like if you found out, like, you know, Australia in over the seas, they just called it. Oh, yeah. Well, in Australia, we call it Australia. But I get that overseas, people just call it.
Yeah. And if you went over there, or if anyone pronounced it Australia over there, they'd be mocked for sort of being a tryhard.
Yeah.
Right? And adopting the local accent.
Let's say you go to a like a corner shop in some country. You know, you're in Russia or whatever. And you go in there and you go, are these pies, are these meat pies from Australia? And they go, it's pie. Yes, it's pie.
All right, is that a sketch idea?
I think it is.
Yeah. I think it is.
All right.
But that made me think of something. God, and then I squeezed it out of my brain. But going overseas and the pronouncing. It's a classy idea, Alistair. It's going to be one that we're going to be very proud of. But how about this, right? Fart accents. Do you think it's possible that people from different countries fart with different accents? And if we recorded all the farts of all the different countries in the world, would we be able to detect, no matter how subtle, a regional variation in the way in which people do it? Anyway, we don't have to talk about that anymore.
Oh, thank you, Andy. I would like to see Stephen Fry do that. Do that documentary. You know, and then see him in front of a map of England. And show how good he is at doing all the accents.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that'd be interesting, that really hyper-local sort of accent stuff that they have in England is. I mean, probably if there was anything, it would be more associated with cuisine, right, with your diet and your overall lifestyle,
yeah,
more than your sort of location. Although, you know, regional things like humidity and atmospheric pressure could come into it. I imagine they sound different at different altitudes, right?
Yeah.
Like a fart on the top of Mount Everest with that lower air pressure. Would it sound more
high-pitched? Well, it also depends what building you're in. You know, it's like if It would also depend on whether you're outside or whether you're inside or whether you're in a...
Yeah,
in
of course
a,
you're. Of course
you know,
you're.
I don't know. It depends.
Anyway, good stuff. Absolutely good stuff. Alistair.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about abs for your back, have we, before?
Abs for your back. We have talked about abs for your back. Yeah, I'm sure we have. Yeah, babs, I guess you'd call them.
What's that?
But, you know, babs. But, you know, but ideally, you know, there'd be abs for sort of every part of your body. You know, the abs for your bicep, you know.
Is a bicep sort of just like a single ab?
I guess it is a single ab, yeah. Yeah, and you know, your calf muscles and that sort of thing. But it'd be good if they were rippling. I think this would be a great superhero, right?
Rippling abs.
He's a superhero where every single one of his muscles is abs, is a six pack.
Right? Which idiot called them flags and not rippling, believe it or not?
Hang on. Hang on. I think it would be false flags. Which idiot called them false flags?
Yeah.
And not rippling, believe it or not.
Ripplings? No, rippling, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Okay, false flag.
Believe it or not. Which idiot
or
called
nos.
Them false flags or nos?
Nos.
No, or knots. Knots. So, which idiot called... You're tweeting this right now, aren't you, Alistair?
I haven't started yet, but I was considering it.
Which idiot called them false flags and not rippling, believe it or not? Now,
well, what's that
Alistair,
last thing? What's that last thing? Oh, believe it or not.
Because it's got to be a plural.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, knots. Flags. Knots. For fuck's sake. But, Alistair.
Yeah.
Now, this is my challenge to you. You tweet this.
Yeah.
The tweet goes really well. Okay? Super viral. I'm talking 100,000 retweets. Okay?
Yeah.
And it gets spotted by a streaming service, Amazon, right? And they approach you and they say, we want you to turn that tweet into a TV show.
Yeah. And then you want me to...
Now...
Here's the challenge. You have to say no.
Hang on, the challenge is you have to say no to the TV show.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to see what your challenge was.
No, the challenge was that you have to turn that tweet into a TV show. Now, and this is, they want you to turn into a prestige hour-long series, okay?
That,
and they're looking
that
at
would be
like
much easier.
Multiple seasons. You think?
Yeah. I think so, because if it's a prestige series, it means that it's like, you know, I could just put it in deep in the drama of, like, you know, an alt-right, you know, like, group that meets in some town and they're planning some...
No, so now you're leaning into the false flag side of things, but what you're leaving out is more than 50% of that tweet is the rippling, believe it or not, okay? Yeah. And that's the bit that they really like.
Okay, right. So,
okay.
So I get,
that's
okay,
their
I
favorite
go,
bit of the
I
tweet.
Go, first thing, we're getting Dean Cain involved.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
It'll also be a right-wing thing. He's become very right-wing.
He has.
Right?
Yeah.
So then he owns an American flag shop. Right?
Okay.
But he also runs a conspiracy theory YouTube
channel.
Well, no, maybe a Telegram channel.
Yeah, okay.
Right, but he also makes a website and then creates a lot of the content for it. He then he is So what's
guy's busy?
Yeah,
he's working.
Well,
hard.
when you're in a flag shop, you know they're all American flags,
all American.
Well, do you think it would make you couldn't imagine a flag shop in America where they sell more than just American flags? Could you?
That's true. I really can't. Yeah.
If they did, it would be a museum. And you're in the gift shop.
Right.
That's not a regular shop.
First, so there's a museum gift shop, and they sell what, flags of all nations there?
Well, because it's a flag museum.
It's a flag museum. Okay, well then that checks out. Yeah.
And then they would sell the flags from all nations, just because you've sampled the merch, and this is where you know, the first try is free, but then they jack up the price.
The first look at it. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Great. Then what?
And okay, anyway, so I got to remember what a false flag is.
It's where, you know, there's some sort of an insurrection or an operation or an attack of some kind. And it is presented in the media, and maybe even the way that the attack is done itself is presented as being from a particular side of an issue.
Yeah, right.
But then there's a conspiracy theory that operation was just actually staged by the other side of the issue to make the first side of the issue look bad.
Mm, yeah. And so he runs this thing, and a conspiracy thing, but he's also a member of the CIA.
Yeah, great. Really good.
Trying to capture people who are in the alt-right. It's probably just actually in the FBI. People who are in the alt-right who would be inclined to do, you know, a far-right terrorism and entrap them essentially into getting involved in things. And then... but then also gets involved in some big plan.
You've really actually, in a way, you've nailed the prestige element of this because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And there'll be twists and turns. It's really good.
Yeah.
And twists and course, turns, much like whether a flag or not people
will watch a prestige HBO program called Rippling, Believe It or Not.
Okay. So this made me think that it's a shame that the false flag defense, only really applies to sort of groups and organizations, and you can't use it in your personal life. Basically, whenever you get accused of doing anything wrong, that you can't claim that it was a false flag operation. And I suppose the way that this could play out is that there is a group... and they do sort of like a private detective, but they're a sort of a private CIA.
Yeah.
And they'll conduct sort of one-on-one false flag operation. I guess this is gaslighting. I guess what I'm suggesting here is gaslighting. It's an agency that gaslights people for you. Okay? So if you've done something wrong, now I'm describing a false flag operation.
If you've done something wrong, so you can claim that somebody else was doing it?
Yeah, exactly. And they'll then make it look like they'll do some other things. They'll get some impersonators of you, and they'll do a few other things sort of as those impersonators, leaving some crumbs of evidence so that you can plausibly claim that it was them that did this other thing. You know, say somebody shits themselves at work.
Great.
Okay? And they leave some poopy pants sort of hidden down behind the photocopy.
Yeah.
And those poopy pants have got your name on the label. Okay? And there's an office meeting where they talk about the poopy pants and they say that it was you. You know, they say it's really badly handled by the HR department to do it in this sort of confrontational manner where they basically shame you in front of the whole office. They badly handled the poopy pants. The poop went everywhere. Got all over the photocopier.
They shouldn't have brought it into the place where all the white paper was.
Yeah. Anyway, it'd be quite a good product, would be a personalized toilet paper printer. that you can print. You know, it's like a, you can print anything you want straight onto toilet paper. It'd be a good novelty product. I mean, printers are so cheap right now.
Yeah.
You can just, you know, get it like a receipt. It would be like one of those receipt printers, right? Those things come in a roll.
Paper comes
in a roll, and you can get one where you can just put in a roll of toilet paper, print directly onto the toilet paper, whatever you want.
You could even
and then
print,
get a personalized roll.
You could make it look like you've wiped your butt.
Right.
You just print that
on.
You
haven't, though.
Hey?
You don't. You make it look. You haven't wiped your butt. But if anyone challenges you, you want to be able to show
you
them.
You want to be able to show them you can carry it around in your pocket. Oh, I haven't?
Yeah.
Well, then what's this?
Yeah, great.
And then you don't have to wipe your butt. You know, that's what's so good. And they go, something smells. You go, well, it's not me. You go, did you wipe your ass? He goes, yeah, here's proof.
No. I don't think they even ask you, right? Yeah. They don't even, they just say something smells. And then you say, well, it's not me. I wiped my ass. And then you pull out the pooey, the printed toilet paper, and you show everybody.
Yeah.
And you say, see, and then maybe you get them to sniff it. I don't know if that's necessary. Oh, no, you wouldn't get them to sniff it because then that could be where the smell's coming from, and you're saying the smell isn't from you.
I know. Oh, yeah. I understand that bit, but I think that's also fun. For me, that adds to it.
Oh, my God. All right. Where was I?
Can you smell shit? Back. It's not me. I wipe my ass. Look.
All right, but before I was the poopy pants, it was the false flag, and then, you know, you say, it wasn't me, it was a false flag operation, right? And then you hire this company to get them to do some other sort of impersonating of you doing wrong stuff and, yeah, leaving evidence. You know, maybe you can arrange for you to be seen doing something else at the same time so that you can then say, see, it was a false flag operation. Anyway, look, fucking hell, Alistair.
Is it
Shaggy? It wasn't me?
Yeah.
It's really that, you know, but Shaggy obviously had done it.
Yeah.
But
and then
what if Shaggy had an alibi thanks to this?
Yeah, but then the wife had all this footage. She'd been watching it on the cameras.
Hmm.
I don't know if she saved it to her computer or what, or whether she was just watching the live stream of the CCTV.
But maybe it's DVR. I think at that time it would have been DVR.
Okay,
right?
So she had it hooked
maybe
up.
Maybe even pre DVR, just Handycam. Yeah.
Yeah. And so did you or did you not make the poopy pants?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And so who was responsible in the end?
For doing the poopy pants.
Yeah, like as in who did your...
It was me, but then I...
But then...
I got it to look like it was some other people. I had them send in some impersonators who looked like me.
So they made it look...
Doing other stuff.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And just create that plausible
See, look,
deniability.
There was two versions of me over there playing ping pong. So it couldn't have been me.
Exactly.
Do you think... I mean, I guess you could... If you could try to say that it was actually the HR department trying to get something on you.
Because
the HR department is kind of like the FBI of the company.
Yeah, they're more like the sort of the internal affairs. There must be an FBI that investigates the FBI, right? There must be some department of that looks into their own things that are going on. That's the HR department.
Why do you think that? So are you saying that the company... How are they like the anti-corruption people?
You know what? I am wrong and I apologize.
But you know what? There should be an HR department.
For the HR
department that checks out the HR.
There should, yeah.
Anti-corruption HR.
Yep.
It's a TV show. It's like Line of Duty.
Yes.
But it's...
HR.
It's HR. But...
For HR.
For HR, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you get recruited after you stand up to some you know HR based injustice, and you know that
but
all
you'd
the,
have to be a member of the HR department. Yeah,
you're originally right? a member of the HR department, and you know that everybody in HR is always helping each other out. You know, they will always back another HR, you know, a boy in gray or a lady in gray. Lady in gray.
Yeah.
Standing over me, getting me to sign a written warning.
Apology.
Apology and warning.
Great. I like that we're sort of suggesting that a lot of HR stuff could be fraud and could be fake.
Fake?
And
or could be like undercover.
Well, no.
From HR.
I think that we're suggesting that there's corruption within the HR department.
Yeah.
Right? And in that way, we're probably siding with a lot of pretty bad, gross dudes.
No, but think about it. There's going to be
bad stuff in the office.
In every department, there's going to be somebody who's doing a bad job. But it just so happens that in the HR department, they can get rid of people. And so they can really affect people's careers.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the people in HR, they send somebody undercover to pretend like they're just a regular HR person.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And then they get all the ins and outs of what's happening. They get really into the circle. They make good friends with, you know, somebody that they're investigating in HR.
I hear that on your first day in HR, they'll often make you fire somebody just to, like, blood you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, somebody
even if they've done
really innocent. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe somebody that everybody loves.
The office clown.
Oh, no, well, no, the lady who brings in all
everybody
the
loves the office clown. Oh, no. Yeah, great. And if you don't do that in front of them, then
do you think? Do you think that there's a market out there for dry cupcakes?
I mean, it sounds awful, doesn't it? I think one of the greatest things, you know, signs of progress is that progressively, as a society, we're making cakes moister.
Yeah.
More and more moist.
I understand
that. It feels
that.
Like one of the ways that we can definitively say, well, humanity is improving.
But
it's not all good.
But like,
but the arc of history is long, but it bends towards more moist cakes.
Yeah, but think about biscuits.
Yeah,
biscuits are dry.
Yeah,
and yet we can enjoy them.
Yeah, and I'd argue. Oh, now would I argue that the more dry the biscuit, the better? Because when I think of a more moist biscuit, I'm thinking is sort of going a bit stale and that's no good. But then you can have ones like a sort of
chewy chocolate.
Chewy one.
Chocolate chip, yeah.
Yeah, which is not too bad.
Yeah. And so the problem with a cupcake then that is dry is probably that it's not dry enough.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
If you're planning,
it doesn't crunch, right?
Well, yeah. But also if you're planning for it to be dry, you probably compensate by having more of something else in there that activates the saliva. So you're bringing your own moisture.
What would be pretty amazing would be a cupcake that is actually, a biscuit, right? And then a layer of something else, right? So quite a crispy biscuit, a layer of something a bit more moist, another crispy biscuit, you know, so sort of like a biscuit stack, and then all the way around the outside, so you don't see the edges of any of the biscuits, is like a shell of chocolate. Okay? So you...
This is becoming far from a... It sounds like what you're creating is a type of biscuit.
Well, but it's a biscuit stack that builds up into the size and shape of a cupcake.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's all about these fusion desserts.
Well, because it's almost like you're creating essentially a wagon wheel, but
I suppose I am. But it's really high.
but you've just stacked a couple of wagon wheels on top of each other and maybe lacquered it with a bit more chocolate.
Yeah,
okay. I want it to still be the kind of webbiness of a cupcake.
Webbiness.
Well, you know, like a cake.
You mean fluffiness?
No, I just mean like the texture of a cake is kind of, because it's got air bubbles in there. It's to me, it's webby.
Sponge.
Yeah.
Spongy.
It's a spongy thing, but you know.
I guess a sponge is just a 3D web.
It's a 3D web.
Mm-hmm.
It's either a web of bubbles. No, the bubbles aren't webbing. They're just being near each other. Anyway, I still want that.
Yeah.
I still want that look. I still want that texture. But I want it to be so dry that it's got an enjoyable, and then maybe you've upped the salt or you've upped the sugar or something like that a little bit more, and you're not so reliant on the top goo.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think you know what the bubbles are like in a Nestle Aero Bar.
Yeah,
right. Now that, but cake,
and that's dry,
and
right?
Big, and that's dry.
It's dry,
yeah,
but then
I think this could be something.
But then when you increase the temperature,
a little bit waxy as well.
When you increase the temperature, then it becomes liquid, which happens in your mouth.
Mm. Yeah.
Imagine
I love things that melt in your
mouth. Imagine if chocolate didn't have its melting point at right on the edge of between room temperature and mouth temperature.
Mm. What would that be like?
Well, because then you would, let's say its melting point was like 70 degrees.
Yeah.
So then you would eat chocolate and you would still kind of get that waxiness of like chewing through like a candle or something like that.
Mm.
But, and you would probably get some of the flavor, you would get the flavor, I guess, because you'd still be kind of mashing it up. But
well, you get the flavor of every food and you're still being dissolved a bit by your saliva and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, does it get dissolved?
Unless you're suggesting it's not water soluble.
Well, I guess.
In which case, that's really quite radical.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hmm.
What about a bar?
Can you digest wax? You just eat wax. Can you digest that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess.
Or does that just come out as wax at the other end?
Oh, something's got to happen in there. It can't be like completely unbothered by acid or whatever that's happened in your gut and all that tumbling.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you think there'd be a lot of tumbling in the belly?
There's plenty of tumbling.
Do you picture food
rumbling in your tumbling
in your belly? Do you picture it sort of rolling down your intestines, sort of like you know, like a I don't know, like a stone in a cave?
I really quite picture it sort of oozing and
oozing.
Squirting.
Like how? And is it all gravity that's pushing it down, or are there little like?
There's some muscles. It's a little bit of like, you know, contraction of one form or another.
In the intestines?
I think it must be.
Or is there like little legs, like
it
little,
must
little
be,
hairs?
It must be. There's little hairs, but I don't think they're moving it along. I
like,
think they're like passing it like it's crowd surfing.
Like, yeah, the intestine isn't like a reverse millipede or something.
No. No, with the legs on the inside, that'd be good though. Alistair, I reckon we've got five sketch ideas.
Oh, we do. Yeah. Sorry. We started just talking. yeah, we do. We have five sketch ideas. So we're going to go to three words from a listener. I don't know if you know this, but we have listeners. Mm. And sometimes they can send in three words if they support us on Patreon. It feels very like we're excluding people from being able to do this. And you know what? I think we are. What else are we going to do? I feel bad now. All right. today's words come from, I think it's a first time, I believe it's a first time worder, Lachlan Rocker.
Lachlan Rocker. I like the ox in your name.
Lachlan Rocker.
Can I call you Dr. Ock? Is that okay?
Dr. Rock.
Dr. Ock, like Dr. Octopus.
I know, but if it was Rocker, I mean, you could call him Doc Rock.
Yeah, but then I don't get the lock in there.
Yeah, no. But you could be pronouncing it in a racist way.
Okay.
So we are going to get you to guess what the three words are today.
Yeah. Okay. The first word is... first word is bevel.
Bevel? No. Is it is bevel a word?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's like your beveled edge. You know, bevel, you know, you so you have a bit of wood and you sort of round over the edge, you're beveling it.
All right. Well, that's not the answer. It is offspring.
Okay.
But if you have a bit of wood and you sort of offspring the edge, then you're that's offspring.
You're beveling it. Yeah. Okay, great. So the second word is going to be interrupt.
No. I don't know why I think that this is close, because but it's because there's a consonant and then another and then a T. It's auction.
Offspring, auction.
Yeah.
And then the third word is... Oh, someone's coming in. Hello, Finn. Hello, offspring. I'm just doing a podcast. What? Yeah, I'm recording with Alistair. Why did I say offspring? Oh, because we said the word offspring on the show. And offspring also means child. But I've got to record this with Alistair. I'm almost finished. So if you go out and play with Grandma and Grandpa a little bit longer, then I can come out and play with you, okay?
I just want to make a book.
Okay, I'll help you to make a book as soon as I've finished. I just need 5 minutes, okay?
Grandma's going to help.
Oh, Grandma's going to help. Okay, great. Out you go. I'll see you soon. Oh, thanks for telling me. Offspring auction. It's something that's on my mind right now. And off you go. Off you trot. Off you go, Arlo. I've just almost finished the podcast. Okay, I just need a bit more time. Bargain.
Did you see that guy? Did you see that guy? This is probably not a great story, but that guy on... That was on The Guardian yesterday. I was like, I've sold my children and now my kidney. I think that person's doing well. All right.
I did see that. Yeah. I didn't feel great about it. Offspring auction.
And?
And then bargain.
Bargain? No, what but it's... oh, my God. You're so close. Coupon.
Oh. I mean, it's hard to see how this leads to an immediately funny scenario.
What?
Let's see.
Go the other way. First you sell your liver. No, your kidney.
No.
Then you sell your offspring. No. No.
Yeah.
So offspring can also be a spring that is, you know, a little bit fucked up.
I mean, if we were talking about selling organs, right? What about a guy who, like, say, Alistair, I come to you and I say that I really need a kidney.
Yeah.
Right?
And we kidney.
Go through this whole thing. A kidney, right? And you eventually give me your kidney.
Yeah.
Okay? And then we're both lying down on the table there next to each other in the operating theater.
Oh no!
Right? And they've taken out your kidney.
Oh, I thought. Okay? I thought you go. Oh, I thought you meant like I bring you the knee of my child.
A kidney. No.
And then you're laying on the operating table, going, "I'm ready." And you go, "Well, here's my child's knee." And you go, "That's not what I meant." You go, "Oh no, this is a real whoops."
But they put it in anyway, and it works out great.
Turns out, just the same thing. You can only just all you need is a bit of meat in there. Just attach the pipes to some meat.
I'm lying down next to you on a table there. Yeah. They've taken out your kidney.
You're holding
looking
hands?
At me through bleary eyes. And they're ready to... and then you're like, okay, and now they good luck for when they put it in you or something. And I say, what are you talking about? It's not going in me. All right, I'm lying down there. And then I open up my gown on my tummy. And there's a little box there. And I just put the kidney in the little box. Okay?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, why were you lying down in the theater with me? I was like, I was being supportive and, you know, wanted to be here with you. And then turns out I'm just selling the kidney.
It would be good if they, while you were laying there.
Reasonable
and then,
price.
And then
I needed the money.
The person who's dressed in white starts to cook it and then places the plate of food on your belly and you eat the kidney in front of them with some, like, you know, some carrots and some, you yeah, know, a glass oh, of wine carrots. And stuff like that.
And the carrots aren't very good. And I'm like, oh, yuck. And then I throw it in the bin.
These carrots are good.
These carrots.
Thank you so much, though.
But these carrots were really bitter.
Imagine how, like...
You know how sometimes you get a very bitter carrot? I'm eating it with raw carrots, quite thick slices of raw carrot for some reason.
Okay, we can try that. But I picture it as being a bit fancier. But the manner in which you're eating it is so awkward because it's on your belly.
Yeah.
And then you're having to lift your head up real hard and put it in there. And you're like, I can't put my head down or I'll choke.
Oh.
And then you make a little joke. You're like, oh, well, right place to do it, though, if I'm going to choke.
Yeah, that's good. Nice little joke. yeah, just leaven that slightly awkward atmosphere in here is tense. A little joke will sort us out. I think that's, Alistair, I think that's the sketch idea.
Great. They eat it in front of you. I love that they've kept you awake for this operation, but
yeah,
you know, these days.
Well, they wanted, you know, I technically did put the kidney in me, so
yeah,
that was the words that I used.
Yeah.
When I convinced you to let me do,
and then
this.
Also then they're like, then it's like, this is actually quite
I
hard.
Was
and then
really
he's like,
hungry.
Can you help me? And then he points to one of the doctors. Because you're having trouble putting it in your mouth just from your position. Mm. And you go, and then as he's putting it in, you go, look, you're making another little joke. You go, look at that. Surgeon accuracy. Straight in the mouth. Perfect. That's why you do this here.
Another little joke. Another little joke.
You know? All right. I'm going to take us to the sketch ideas. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, Doc Rock. Doc Ock. Lock Rock. Mm. Okay, we got Womb Factory. It's not a factory that makes wombs, but this is just the alternative universe where we made factories into mimicking the human reproductive process. Then we got 3D man ejaculate printer for MRAs to make male-only society. Then we have injector seat. That's to get the enemy and put them in a crashing plane. It just still has that rocket underneath the seat. It's a guided rocket. It goes and gets an enemy. Maybe the straps.
An injector seat also works for putting people into a plane that isn't crashing. You know,
no, that's true.
So say you've missed your flight.
That would be good.
They've got some injector seats sitting there on the runway.
Yeah.
You just jump into one of those. It blasts off. Drops you in through the top.
Of course,
of the
that's the first step until we realize we just don't even need the airplane. We can just ride the seat all the way to Sydney.
Sure.
Then we got overseas. They pronounce Australia like that. And then we got printer to print on toilet paper and then make it look like you've wiped your ass. And then HR, the anti-corruption HR department. And then the I need a kidney, and then they eat it in front of you in the operating theater.
I think it's quite funny where we basically do it in such a way that you don't see the plate until I'm lying there and I reach down and then you see me wiggling my hands and then I lift them up and I've got a fork and a little bit of the kidney there.
Yeah, you hear a little like...
Yeah.
Ding, 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 like this.
What are they doing now?
While they're holding hands, looking at each other, you know, like two people on the table.
Yeah.
Ding, ding. Chop, 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 like that. Clink, clink.
We haven't had a cannibal sketch for weeks, and it feels good.
Oh, weeks. Andy, it's probably been 5 to 6 months.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. It's good that you did that thing
podcast
to
where
us
we
and it.
Come up with five sketch ideas.
And of.
We are potentially, I think it looks like we are going to be doing Teleport again at the end of February, 23rd,
yes.
maybe 25th and 27th or something like that.
Okay.
In Melbourne. And potentially, if we can, if Evan and Stupid Old Studios remember, we're going to be filming it. And we are going to be doing comedy festival tickets for both My Client is Innocent and my show with Matt called, what was it called again? Ring, ring, duck, duck,
ding. Hoot, hoot.
Honk,
toot,
honk,
toot.
Honk, honk.
Hubba, hubba.
Yeah. Honk,
ring a ding, ding.
Honk, honk, hubba, hubba, ring a ding, ding. That's right. And this is just a stand up show, split stand up show. We're going to be doing that. Tickets are on sale for that. That's the end of March.
Yeah.
Corona's going to be gone by then.
And in March, also, my book will be in shops.
Can you believe it?
Bookshops. Gustav and Henry by Matthews and Thomas.
Can you believe it?
And it's for young readers.
You see, and it's you see why I worry about you see why I worry about secret comedy projects. You see, we got you can support us on Patreon. You can review us if you want. Gosh, we love that. I haven't looked for so long, but you may have all reviewed us in the last month, and I haven't even looked. I feel like an asshole. I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm gonna look tomorrow. So
I promise.
So I'm gonna look tomorrow. So. If you want to write a review, that would be, you could surprise me.
And my wife has started a Instagram account. Carly started an Instagram account for our house renovation because we sold our house and we bought another house that's in much worse condition to give Alistair something to rib me about. And now there is an Instagram account where you can check out the renovation.
And what's it called, Andy?
It's called Spring Hill Reno.
Spring Hill Reno. Love that.
And
see you all on Spring Hill Reno. And we love you.
You.
Bye.
Toodles.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.